hopefully. Okay, like Pastor Paul said, we're going on with a series of discipleship. And then the third one we are talking about this morning. When I go there, I look too short. That's a problem. Oh, maybe my Bible is too heavy then. Yeah, thank you. So, we are back on our series on discipleship. And then, like Pastor Paul rightly said, the first one was follow me. And then Jesus called out to his disciples. The second one was the course of following Jesus Christ. And this morning, I am handling what we call distinctive disciples. And the passage we read was when Jesus went up and then the disciples came up to him. And as he began to teach them, he came up to this verse 13 to 16. And he pointed out to the disciples that you are the salt of the earth. And in verse 14 he said, you are the light of this world. Now, when we mention distinctive, we're actually saying something that is unique, that is typical, that is distinguishing. But when we talk of disciple, it came from a Greek word, mathetes, meaning a learner, an apprentice, or a student. So distinctive disciple is a typical disciple of his master. So here we are actually going to understand, help ourselves to understand what it means or what it takes to be that typical disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what it is about today. So we all know what salt it is. What salt is. Salt gives taste to food, either in soup or in stew or whatever. And also, salt preserves things. So Jesus saying to them that you are the salt of this earth, Jesus is simply putting it to them that, hey guys, once come to me, I've transformed you, so you are no longer what you are. You have changed, and you are able to make the society tasteful. And you are the people that I'm going to transform or to help, so that wherever you go, the society will see the taste of who I am. Also, salt preserves things. So disciples of Jesus Christ must be able to preserve what Jesus have taught them. And when they go out, whatever they teach must be preserved. But it went with a warning. If we fail, or if the disciples fail to go out to show that taste or to preserve the situation, the consequences are that the world will actually throw them under the foot. What this simply means is that, disciples, you are going to impart the world the way I've imparted you. So when you are not there, the world should see the sign that Christ-like disciples are missing. They are not there. So we dictate, or the disciples are to dictate, the pace of life in the society. How God wants man to live. The expectation of God that man should behave this way and that way. But if they fail to do that, then the society will take over and rule over. For which reason? Society will be dictative to the disciples instead. Or today, we call us Christians. Every follower believer will agree with me today that the world is changed or has changed. I had a chance last Sunday to interview some, age people. And I asked them, how was it like in UK in the last 60 or 50 years? And they agree, or the answer that came up is that it seems followers of Christ have derailed. And what is happening in our days today is not what the United States, UK seems to be, or the Christian society used to be. It is because the salt is not there. So the society have taken over. There have been many reports we hear, Christians having issues with non-believers, and it looks like Christians or followers of Christ have no rights at all. At the end of the discussion, you see that the worldly or the unbelieving, their rights overrides that of the believer. But this is what Jesus earlier pointed out. So failure to be that salt and that light, we cannot connect. And when we talk of light, light shines into the darkness and the darkness disappears. So everywhere we go in the night, you will see light. So Jesus is saying that because I am the light of the world, being with me, I have imparted you. My light is in you. So as you go out, you are going out at that light to shine among men. The world is dark. Life without Christ is darkness. Anyone who does not accept Jesus as Lord is in the dark. The Bible clearly stated, let's read a few verses here. We already noted what we saw in the Matthew verse chapter 5. And then so John chapter 8, the verse is 12. Sorry, I'm not using the church Bible though. Yes, it's just thank you very much. I missed a verse, sorry. Should be I'll get it for you. Shall we turn to marker? Okay, let's turn to Mark 3:14. In Mark 3:14, the Bible says, He appointed 12, designated them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. Now, the reason Jesus called us is that we must be with him so that he can send us forth. He called us as his followers, making us his disciples, so that he can impart into us all that he has. I've already mentioned that he is already the light of the world. So coming to him, being with him, gives us the opportunity to be like him. Because in Proverbs 27:17, the Bible says, iron sharpens iron, so a man's countenance sharpens the countenance of his neighbor. So being with Jesus will give us the opportunity to shine out as what? Jesus shines. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that ye all, with unveiled face, as beholding in the mirror, we are being transformed into the same image of Christ. So when we are with Christ and he's teaching us what he knew, day by day, disciples of Christ must be transformed into that Christ-likeness. So when we go into the society, we should be able to impact the society. Because we are already Christ-like. Our attitude has changed. The way we speak, the way we handle things have changed. If, for instance, we all heard of Paul. When he was actually going after tradition, he couldn't reach anywhere. But when he met Jesus, his life was impacted and it changed. So reading about Paul, we see that he is able, by the grace of God, to transform the world, to transform the life that he encountered. People that came in contact with him, he was able to transform them. Peter, whom we all knew of, Jesus called him and Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Peter was a fisherman, but when Jesus called him to follow him, Jesus knew what identity to give him. By following Jesus and being with Jesus, we noted that Peter has been transformed. He has changed. And he alone was able to impart many souls. So on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, the verse 38, we see that when Peter preached, 3,000 souls were saved. That was the impact. So if today we are not distinctive, we are not Christ-like, we are not typical like our Savior Jesus Christ, we can't impart the society in which we are. So you can see today, the hairdo, the hairstyle, the type of dressing, the way people move about, the things are dictated by the worldly, not the believers. This is why the voice of believers are not heard in the society anymore. So it is important that every believer, every follower of Jesus Christ, understand that there is a price that we must pay to become that truthful disciple of Jesus Christ. That distinguished disciple of Christ. Because last week we knew that there are prices to be paid. And some of the prices is that we need to deny ourselves certain things. Your time, your dedication, your availability, your talent, your gifts, your skills. If we understand that we are called by God to shine and Christ wants to shine through us, we must lay all at his feet so that he can bless us, so that we can move on to shine out there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Second Corinthians 5:14. Bible says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." What this means is that Jesus dying for all, or for us, for which reason you and I have the opportunity to sit here as his followers, we are no longer expected to live for ourselves. We are to live for him because he saved us with his blood. The reason he saved us is that we should come and live the life that he has led, which pleased his Father. Galatians 2:20, he said that, "I have been crucified with Christ, yet I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the grace of God, who loved me and died for me." So as believers, as followers of Christ, we are expected to pattern our life the way Christ did. And why is it important? Why is there any need that we should be the disciples of Christ? Or we should follow Christ and be distinctive? Because Jesus knew that the only way to get souls back to his Father is through discipleship. And what is discipleship? Discipleship is to learn of Christ so as be equipped and then be able to pass the baton to other people. What Jesus was doing is that For instance, I live in the same house with you. And then I happen to, Jesus used food, so I will use food. You happen to be cooking. And then I also happen to be doing something else. And then I saw, I needed something in the shop. Can you go and get that item for me? Let's say you are cooking and I'm ironing my dress. And then I saw, I need some drink. Please, can you go and get some drink for me? If you agree to go to the shop to get me that drink, at the material moment when you were cooking, I believe you all agree with me that I should take the responsibility of what you were doing. You were cooking, I should attend to your food to be cooked. Is that right? Okay. So what Jesus did was that he was winning the souls. He went into the cities, towns, and villages, winning the souls so that he can gather them to his Father. But he left those work and came and paid the price for you and me by dying on a cruel cross. So the work is left unfinished. Hence, if that work must be finished, it is important that we, those he has already saved, must take charge of the work he was doing. I hope it made sense. So as believers gathered here today, listening to me, we need to ask ourselves if we are Christ's disciples or we are just coming to church. I am ashamed to say that I've been in a ministry for many years, and I've been to programs after programs, and we see banners and posters talking about discipleship. Yet, at the end of it, it's just talking about mobilization. Jesus is not talking about only mobilization. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you to the end of the world." What Jesus is saying is that we should go on beyond just soul winning. A disciple must be taught. A disciple must be trained. A disciple must be equipped. If our teachers are not trained and equipped, our children cannot be taught in the classrooms. If our doctors are not trained and taught, we will have no doctors. We go to the hostel, the beds will be empty, and the sick will be unattended too. Our nurses are trained today. We have universities training our nurses so that they can go to the hospital and perform. Accountants, auditors are being trained. This is the secular world that they understand that for somebody to be able to discharge a duty faithfully and securely, the person needs to be taught and trained. Then what made us think that in the Christian world, without teaching and training, people can go out there and win souls and disciple them? Therefore, disciples are not born, but they are made. We need to teach them, we need to train them, we need to equip them. Jesus says, "All that you have taught you." And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says that, "All that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit also unto faithful one." It's like a baton race, a relay. When I receive the baton, I should be able to pass it to somebody else. And then that person should pass it on. If Jesus tarries, in the next 50, 60 years or so, many of us here will die and will be gone. How will the next generation be? If we are not distinctive disciples, typical like Christ, we cannot pass the baton to them because there is nothing in us to give to them. I want to challenge everybody listening to the sound of my voice today that we have a duty at hand. The unfinished task can only be done and sorted out if we change our posture. our mindset, our decision. Jesus was doing it, and he left it to come and save us all. But we have come, and we don't want to go there. Then he said, it will be trampled down on their feet. Society will see us as useless. You go to places, people see you as Christians, they don't want to listen to you. You go to places and workplaces, now the most, how do I put it? It is only in UK that I realize that it is more forbidden to speak about Jesus in workplaces and schools and places. It's only in UK. It's so strict. It may be in other places, but it's too strict in a Christian nation like this. So, even though it's strict in our schools, workplaces, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't make disciples. In the days of Paul, they were facing more persecution. Jesus is saying that you will face persecution though, but go and be the salt of the earth. We are to go among them so that when we are not there, any meeting they are holding, they will see that yes, because we are not there to contribute. The wisdom, the knowledge, the power is in Christ. Bible says in him is fullness of wisdom and knowledge. He is giving it to us. Let them realize and recognize that whenever we are not in their meetings to speak out, there's no sense going on there. Because if there's no salt in your food, you know how it tastes like. If the salt is too much, you know how it tastes like. Pastor Paul gave us an example this morning as how he was a child. What happens to him in darkness? Some people are old, but still they fear darkness. And if you have been to a country where there is this light off and light on, and then in the night, and then you go to town, coming back, the whole town is blackout, you understand me. Because I've been there before. So Jesus is saying that, being with me, I am making you light, so that when you go, wherever you are, the people who are experiencing darkness, they will now have light. Because I am the light of the world, and I have touched you with that light. Disciple must be taught. Disciple must be trained. But it comes at a cost. These days, our churches, our organization, succeeded in making converts and unestablished church members. Today he comes to church here, tomorrow is another church, not for any program. The next day is another church. That person cannot be established, so that person cannot be taught. But when you stay put, you stay in a church and get yourself established and get fed with the word of God, you can be that typical disciple of Christ. If you visit the church meetings, I want to challenge you. There is a Saturday prayer meeting here. You can come to prayer meeting and become an intercessor. Weekday, there is a teaching going on. From today, decide that you want to be that typical disciple who will learn so that you can also impart somebody. Will the next generation coming after us find us faithful, or will they curse us? If we don't, what will happen is that then the chapels will be sold. The temple will be sold. People will come and use this place as a selling place. It will become a market. But if we make disciples, we'll gather people from the neighborhood. We'll bring people to Christ. We'll pass on the baton. Like in Judges 2:10, like I said already. Because after the generation of Joshua, there was nobody Joshua passed the baton to. So the Bible says, after that generation had gathered to the Lord, another generation grew and does not know what the Lord has done for them. Elijah, disciple Elisha, But Elisha did not succeed making any disciple because Gehazi fell on the way. So when Elisha died and he was buried in a grave, another person died long after. And then when they were going to bury that person, and there was a chase, so they ran away. In attempt to run away, they threw the body of the dead man, and it fell on the dry dead bones of Elisha, the man of God. And the dead man revived and started running. What happened was that he went into the grave with the anointing. So as we sit here, there is none seated here which God has not given you talents, gifts, skills, ability. Not that we exploit it to God's glory, it is lying dormant. And if we don't pass it on to anybody, we will go into the grave with it. And that's cheating heaven. I just want to show a table here what discipleship can do. And on my left side here, I have years, and then Evangelist A, Pastor B, and Disciple Maker C, and then Church Planter D. So in the first year, the Evangelist A decided that you win 365,000 souls every year. That is his goal. That is his target. So in the second year, he doubles it. The third year, you can see the trend till the 10th year. So he has 3,650,000. Then Pastor B also set his goal and said, well, every year I'll win 1,000 souls. The second year you have 2,000. The third, 3. And then the 10th year you have 10. But the disciple maker is saying that I will go slow but sure, so that I will be able to grind the word of God into the people and make them Christ-like disciples. Now, before I go on, the reason why people come to Christ and then for few time we don't see them anymore. Sometimes you meet them somewhere and say, well, I'm not interested in Christianity. It's because they are not grounded or rooted in Christ. So when the wind blows, they are gone. But when they are discipled, taught, and trained, and equipped, no matter the storm, they will keep into the in Christ. Because Peter was persecuted, chased even by Satan. He troubled Jesus, asked many questions. And sometimes you will think this is childish. But Peter was asking. But he was the one who stood firm. Even though he denied Jesus, but he stood firm. Because he was with Jesus and Jesus was teaching. So in Luke 22, 31, 32, Jesus told him, Peter, Peter, Satan have desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for thee. So he stood firm. So disciples staying firm is important. They are the people who will be typical, unique, distinct for Christ to use. So as we move on with the years, you see that when it's 15 years, the evangelists will have that figure. That's 5,475,000. Then Pastor B will have only 15,000. Then the disciple maker who is going step by step will do what? Will have 16,384. By this year, 15 years, he has already bypassed these people in numbers. What this does is that, if, let's assume this is a man. If he disciples me, then I will disciple this one. Then in the following year, you will go discipling somebody. I will go discipling somebody. He also go discipling somebody. Then it is growing in number. So 1, 2, 3. Then we have 6 now. The following year, the 6 of us, each and every one of us, will go making disciples. Meaning the other year, the 6 multiplied by 2 will be what? 12. That is why his number has increased. Shall we go on, please? Okay. I didn't put the last one. But you see, so 30 here, that is a 30 years time. That is 10,950. Sorry. 10,950,000. And then the pastor has only 30,000. But most often, this evangelist one are people that we just hear the numbers. Like they go and make crusades somewhere. And then so we got these souls. We count them. Nobody follows them. Nobody teaches them anything. So if they only know about new birth, it will surprise you to go to a church and you ask one or two to three people, what does baptism mean? Have you been baptized? And they have no idea what you are talking about. They have been following Christ or church. They have been in the church for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, but they don't understand what you are talking about when you mention even new birth. So this is what happened in those circumstances. And then, but the disciple maker, when it's 30 years, that is, you can see the number. It's difficult for me to pronounce because I'm already making a lot of mistakes. So you can see that that figure has already bypassed the number we have today. I tried to check the Gallup polls, and I came to the figure, what I noted was that the current figure, population of the world, is 7.4 billion. 7.4 billion. So 30 to 40 year time, if we, okay, this is the world population clock, which I put on, but then the Gallup will also say similar things, but this is the 2016 one. So you see, 7.4 billion people living on earth now. But if you look at the strategy that the disciple maker used, it means in 30 to 40 years time, this world should be evangelized. Not only evangelized, be discipled. Time is not on my side to go deeper than this. If you care to know, I'll be available 24/7 to help you to know, because I'm into discipleship. And I challenge each and every one here that we better join hands and see that Jesus left the work, the unfinished task, trusting you and I with it, that we'll be able to do it. The world is crying. Souls are not won. There are many places where the gospel has not reached. Some on earth today have never heard the word, even Jesus loves you. Even the word Jesus, some have never heard it before. But with discipleship, distinctive disciple, we'll be able to reach the world. We'll be able to finish this work, this great commission that the Lord Jesus has left for us. And then the world will be a better place to live, because we will in turn be dictating the dressing code, the kind of things we want to see on our streets, the kind of things people should do. Not by telling them, but by preaching, people are transformed. So when they are going out, you can see that they are living Christ-like life. They will not begin to behave like people in the darkness, because the light has shined on them. So distinctive disciples are the only key to bring this work to a finish, to help people to know Christ. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.